listening ears. Help them to not be any distractions, Father. And help me as I preach your word, that you would take my notes and that you take my voice and help me, Lord, to be able to minister to everyone that's here, that we might learn from your word and that way we might grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want to just bring your attention to a very famous verse, verse number 15. Very well-known verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. If you look at verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Bible there and God commands us to study. You say, study what? Well, he's talking about the Bible. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And this morning, I'd like to just teach you and preach to you a very basic sermon. But if you would listen and if you pay attention, I think it'd be very beneficial in your Christian life. I'd like you to teach you on the subject of effective ways to study the Bible. Effective ways to study the Bible. Today, there's so much emphasis on studying the Bible. There's so much emphasis in Christianity on studying God's Word, yet there is very little actual studying of the Bible and studying of God's Word. A lot of people talk about it, but there's very little a few amount of people doing it. I'd like to just teach you some practical things about effective ways to study the Bible, effective ways to study the Word, God's Word. And I'd like to start off, number one, by just explaining to you, just by way of introduction, how not to study the Bible. How not to study the Bible. You're there in 2 Timothy. You can lose your place there and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In your New Testament there, you've got the book of Matthew. You've got the book of Mark. You've got the book of Luke, John, Acts, and then you've got the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'll wait for you to get there. I'd like you to see these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And look down at verse number 13, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." See, the Bible teaches us that, and I don't know, you know, I don't have time to develop the whole chapter there, but the Bible is explaining to us there that the Bible, God's Word, cannot be taught by, notice this phrase, "the words which man's wisdom teacheth." Do you see that? Look at verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." See, the Bible cannot be taught to you by the words of man. You've got to understand that. That's such a foundational truth when it comes to Scripture. A man's words cannot teach you the Bible. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, we come to church and we hear you preach." Yeah, but when you come and hear me preach at Verity Baptist Church, this morning I'm going to give you probably 40 to 50 verses. We read an entire chapter before we got here. And what we're doing is we're giving you God's Word. And yes, we may be explaining God's Word and we may be teaching from God's Word. But the words which men speak, those words cannot explain to you or teach you the Bible. Does that make sense? That's why we don't go out soul winning and just tell people, you know, our testimony. Or just tell people, "Well, let me tell you what I did." You know, we go out soul winning and we open up God's Word and we give them Bible verses. We teach them the Bible. You know, I often tell people, you know, when I'm out soul winning, I read a verse and I explain that verse. I read another verse and I explain that verse. I read another verse and I explain that verse. You say, "What do you do when you're preaching?" I read a verse and I explain that verse. I read a verse and I explain. That's what we're doing. Because God's Word is what will teach you the Bible, and God's Word is where the power is. But I want you to notice verse 13. It says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom speaketh." See, teaches. See, man's words cannot teach you the Bible. You say, "Why is that?" The Bible is a spiritual book. Man is carnal. That's why, and look, I'm not saying you're a bad person if you do this or whatever. And I'll be honest, I've looked at these books before myself. But let me tell you something. So much of what people consider Bible study today is reading two or three verses and then picking up a book and having some person, some human, teach you about the Bible. You say, "What are those?" They're called devotional books. They're called commentaries. They're called all sorts of, you know, studies or whatever. But let me tell you something. If you're going to study the Bible, you're going to have to study the Bible. And if you're spending your time, quote-unquote, studying the Bible, and you're reading two or three Bible verses and reading chapter upon chapter upon chapter of the words which man's wisdom teaches, I'm telling you, you will never learn the Bible. Man cannot teach you the Bible. Look at verse 15. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Note what he says. But which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, the Bible says that when you got saved, the Comforter came into your being, and the Holy Spirit came in and dwelled you. And the Bible teaches us that that Holy Spirit is what's going to teach you the Bible. It says, but the words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Notice what he says. You say, how does the Holy Ghost teach you the Bible? Notice what he says. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do you see that? If you came to Verity Baptist Church for any length of time, you'll know that whenever we're doing studies like we're doing on Sunday night on the book of on end times prophecy, or whenever we're doing studies in on Wednesday nights through the book of the Bibles, or even on Sunday mornings, you'll notice that a lot of times what we're doing is just taking a verse and comparing it with another verse and comparing it with another verse and showing you why. Because let me tell you something: the way you're going to learn the Bible is to let the Holy Spirit teach you, and the Holy Spirit is not going to talk to you audibly. People say, well, the Holy Spirit told... That's not the Holy Spirit. I don't know who that was, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only speaks through God's Word, and He does it... Look what He says. The words the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And let me tell you something. When I take this spiritual book and I compare it to a commentary, I just took a spiritual book and I did not compare it with another spiritual book. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says that God's Word is a spirit. Bible says that God is a spirit, and that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God's Word is Jesus Christ. We must compare. If you're going to learn the Bible, you must learn to compare Scripture with Scripture. And I'm not against people who use commentaries or dictionaries or whatever, but I'm just telling you something, that will not yield true Bible knowledge. It never will. People who spend times reading books and books and books and books, and I'm all for reading books. Look, I read books personally outside of the Bible. Now, I try not to read books about the Bible. And look, I read books on spiritual things. I like to read books that men write about pastoring. Now listen to me. I do not read books to try to teach me the Bible, but I read books all the time about how to, you know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. If there's successful pastors out there and they can teach me how to organize or how to develop, you know, a plan or how to budget or how to whatever, hey, I want to learn. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? But when I'm not against reading books, but when you're going to study the Bible, put the books away. Because you will never get it from man's wisdom. You will get it comparing spiritual things with spiritual, because that is the words that the Holy Ghost teaches. So the first thing you got to understand when it comes to studying the Bible is you're going to have to actually study the Bible. Not, you know, a book about the Bible. And you got to understand the difference. There's a difference between studying about the Bible and studying the Bible. Does that make sense? Bible colleges are full, and I'm not against this. I'm all for studying about the Bible, that's fine. But Bible colleges are full of classes teaching people about the Bible, when really we need to just start teaching people the Bible. You've got to understand, if you're going to study the Bible, you've got to study the Bible itself. You'll never learn the Bible by reading books about the Bible or reading man's philosophy about the Bible. But that was all my introduction. I want to explain to you, and it's not going to be a long sermon or a hard sermon to understand, but I want to explain to you how to study the Bible. Let me give you some practical steps to studying the Bible. First of all, go to the book of Deuteronomy in your Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. You say, where's the book of Deuteronomy? You've got the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 17, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. And we want to teach you this morning on how to effectively study the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Point number one, if you're going to study the Bible, you're going to have to read the Bible. I told you it's going to be very basic this morning. You're going to have to read the Bible if you're going to study the Bible. You're there in Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse number 18. I'd like you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter number 17, and look at verse number 18. The Bible says, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein, notice, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. The Bible commands us to read the Bible every day. Notice what it says. It says that he may, look at verse 19, the first part of verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Now let me just ask, you know, go ahead and answer the critics, because somebody's going to say, well, Pastor Jimenez, that verse is referring to the king of Israel. See, it says there, you know, and it shall be with him when he sitteth upon the throne. Well, first of all, keep your finger there in Deuteronomy because we're coming right back to it. But go to Revelation chapter number 1 real quickly. Revelation chapter number 1. Should be fairly easy to find. Last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 1. You say, that was a command that the kings, when he sat upon his throne there, he was supposed to take the law and read it every day of his life. That doesn't apply to us because we're not kings. Well, go to Revelation chapter number 1. Let me just show you this real quickly. Revelation chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 5. Should be easy to find. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 5. Look what the Bible says. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. Now, if you're saved this morning, that's you. Amen. Jesus Christ loved us and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. But notice, when he washes you from your sins in his own blood, look at verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, the Bible says when you got saved, my friend, God made you a king. And when you got saved, my friend, God made you a priest. That's why we don't throw away the Old Testament, by the way. Say, well, those things about the kings and those things about the priests, those things don't apply to us. You'd be surprised how much they apply to us. God said he made you a king. God said he made you a priest. You say, well, that's just one verse. Okay, go to Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, when you got saved, my friend, the Bible says you became a king. Spiritually. You're the son of God. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. Let me show you a quick verse before we go back to Deuteronomy. Revelation chapter number 1, look at verse 3. You find this concept about reading your Bible all throughout Scripture. I could spend the whole sermon just showing you verses about reading Scripture, but I'll just give you one example before we go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 3, look what it says. Blessed is he that readeth. Do you see that? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. Go back to Deuteronomy. The Bible tells us, the Bible commands us, the Bible teaches us, and let me tell you something, the Bible tells you that it is your job to read the Bible every day. Look at verse 18 again. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Now let me explain something to you. Today, very few Christians read their Bibles. Now, I hope that's not the case at Verity Baptist Church. But the average Christian today does not read their Bible. The average Christian today doesn't read their Bible, barely shows up to church, doesn't tithe or give offerings. But the Bible commands us to read our Bibles every day. Now, the unfortunate part is that the few people who do read their Bibles have the wrong philosophy about reading the Bible. You talk to people, and you'll hear this at a contemporary Christian church, and you'll hear this at an independent Fundamental Baptist church. You'll hear this, I've heard this my whole life. People will say, you read the Bible so you can get something out of it. And what they mean is, you can get a word of encouragement. You know, you can read the Bible and you can get this nice little feeling, you know, about Jesus loving you or something good. And look, I'm not against that. In fact, I'm all for that. But you've got to understand, when it comes to reading the Bible, that's not the purpose of reading the Bible. You say, what's the purpose? Look at verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Notice, there's a colon. Do you see that? Means the next phrases have to do with what he just said, that you're to read your Bible every day of your life. Look what it says. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Do you see that? Amen. The primary reason for Bible reading is the purpose of learning and growing in knowledge. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Say, well, I read the Bible so I can get a nice little feeling, so I can go on with my day just knowing that Jesus loves me. Hey, look, I'm glad you get the feeling, but that's not the primary reason for the Bible. The primary reason for reading the Bible is that you may learn, that you would grow in knowledge. Let me tell you something. If you're going to study the Bible, you're going to have to learn to read the Bible for knowledge. means even when you don't get a warm feeling out of it, you still learn something. Look what it says. Verse 19, that he, middle part of verse 19, that he may learn, that he may learn, that's knowledge, that he may learn to fear the Lord. That's not all though. His God. Notice number two, to keep all the words of this law. One of the reasons we are to read the Bible every day is so you can learn what the Bible says, so you can learn the commandments of God, so you can keep those. They are to keep you from sin. See, I do not have the ability to teach you and preach to you every doctrine and every commandment found in the Bible. Maybe I'll be able to if you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 40 years or 60 years. But I can't do that. I can't give you everything the Bible says. Now, I'll try to give you a lot, and I'll try to teach you a lot. But you've got to, on your own, take your Bible and learn and learn the commandments and learn what God wants you to do. See, the reasons for reading the Bible, number one, is so you can learn. Number two is so that you can know what the Bible says so you can keep the commandments. That's to get the sin out of your life. Look at the last part. It says, well, let's just read the verse again. And it shall, verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. And notice what it says, to do them. Do you see that? There's three purposes for Bible reading. Number one is to learn knowledge. Number two is to keep. That is to keep you from sin by obeying the law. And number three is to do. It's to teach you to serve. It's to teach you to minister. It's so you can read the Bible and see, oh wow, that's what we can do to serve others. That's the purpose of reading the Bible. Now here's what you got to understand. The key to Bible reading. Today, people are taught, read very small amounts of Scripture. Today, the fad in Christianity today is read like 3 to 5 verses a day. And here's their reasoning. You read 3 to 5 verses a day, that way you can really just get it. That way you can really just grasp it. Now, here's the problem with that. And by the way, that's the mentality that you go to the average church today, and the pastor preaches 3 to 5 verses in a sermon. And their mentality for that is, we do that so you can really just get those verses. Now, here's the thing. And I wish I could explain this to you, but I don't know that I can do a great job at explaining to you. Every Christian I've ever known, every pastor I've ever known, every godly woman I've ever known that I know has a very thorough understanding of Scripture. You know, you can tell when you talk to people and you can tell how much they know of the Bible. And I'm not against people who don't know it, you know, that's why they're in church, amen. But every Christian I've ever known that I said, man, that guy knows the Bible. And that guy knows God's Word. You know what? Every godly pastor's wife, every godly lady I've ever met that knows Scripture, here's what every single one of them has ever said, and I agree with it. To know your Bible, you must learn to read large portions of Scripture. You've got to read large portions of Scripture. This little, you know, 3-minute devotional where you read 3 verses and try to dwell on that, you know, it just doesn't work. If you're going to learn the Bible, my friend, you're going to have to learn to read large portions. You know, you got to read more than just a chapter a day. Now look, if you've never read the Bible before and you want to start with a chapter a day, I'm all for that. But when you've been saved for 20 years and you're still reading your chapter a day, you got to grow up. You gotta start reading large portions of Scripture. You know, you've been saved you meet people, I have been saved for 30 years, never read their Bible cover to cover once. That's a sad statement. You know, I ought to read your Bible cover to cover once a year, multiple times a year. Learn to read large portions. You say, why is that? Because when you read large portions of Scripture, here's what happens. God teaches you, the Holy Spirit, we started with this, the Holy Spirit teaches you the Bible by comparing spiritual with spiritual. And the more spiritual you give him to be able to compare, the more he can teach you. Amen. See, sometimes people come to this church and they say, Pastor, how do you, man, you go, you know, you start in 2 Timothy and you go to Deuteronomy, you go to Revelation, you go to here, how do you know that? It's because you read the Bible, you start, you see, you got to see the big picture. See, well, I don't want to miss the little details. Hey, the clearer you see the big picture, the clearer you'll start seeing those details. Amen. And by the way, when you read large portions of Scripture, you're more likely to learn more Bible, because you're reading more. You're more likely to see more laws or more sin in your life, to be able to keep God's commandments. You're more likely to see more things that you should be doing. And guess what? you're also more likely to get that little warm, fuzzy feeling you're looking for because you're reading a lot of Bible and there might be a verse in there that makes you feel real nice. You're more likely. I mean, the odds are large. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to be the type of Christian that knows their Bible and you say, I want to study the Bible, number one, you've got to learn to read large portions of Scripture. You say, well, I don't have the time for that. Well, it's funny because we make time for what we want to do. I wonder how many people today, you know, this week skipped, you know, multiple meals. You know, I just didn't have time to eat. Pastor, I just so busy. Well, we have time for everything we want to do. I mean, you sure have time. You make time for your American Idol, and you make time for every other little show you want to watch. Don't you make time for the Word of God? You know, you make time. You make sure your kids get to school. You know, you make sure you get to work or whatever. Hey, all I'm saying is, why don't you get up a little earlier, or stay up a little later, or just take some time and say, you know, I'm gonna take out a 30-minute block out of my day, or an hour block out of my day to make sure I get alone with God and His Word.
Amen.
Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Say, I want to study the Bible. I think I'm going to go take a class. I want to study the Bible. I think I'm going to go get this book and read it. You know, you just be better off just reading the Bible. Read large portions of Scripture. And here's the amazing thing is, as you're reading large portions of Scriptures, you start noticing things because they're fresh in your mind. My wife and I were talking about this. We're talking about, isn't it amazing? You know, because it makes sense to me. It makes sense logically to read small amounts so you don't lose it all. But with the Bible, reading large portions of Scripture allows you to start making connections because it's fresh. You know, you start seeing a connection at the end of the book of Genesis. Well, because I just read the first part of Genesis a few days ago. Does that make sense? I said, number one, if you want to learn to study the Bible, learn to read large portions of Scripture. Number two, go over to Psalm 119. So the book of Psalm is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we've got to preach these type of sermons in church because these are beneficial to your Christian health. And I've got to, every once in a while, get my nice sermon in. This is your nice sermon, by the way, for the month. Okay? So when I'm preaching mean about the tongue or whatever, and you're like, why don't you preach a nice sermon? This is it, okay, for the month. We're good for another 4 weeks. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, the interesting about this Psalm 119, Psalm's right in the middle of your Bible, if you spoke open in the middle. Psalm 119 is the largest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and the whole chapter is about the Word of God. Every verse deals with the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, I'd like you to go to verse number 97. I'd like you to see something real quickly. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Now, I don't know if your Bible's like mine, I don't know. But Psalm 119 is also divided into, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's divided into sections of 8 verses. Have you noticed that in your Bible? Each one is divided into different sections. That's the Hebrew alphabet or something like that. You know, Psalm 119, verse 97, if you see on the top there, it says M-E-M, mem. That's the Hebrew word for letter for M, I guess. But, you know, I like to remember that M-E-M there as that's the section on memorizing. You say, I want to study the Bible. Number one, you've got to learn to read large sections of Scripture. Number two, if you want to study the Bible, you've got to learn to memorize your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Look at, you're there in Psalm 119, look at verse number 97. Psalm 119, look at verse 97, look what the Bible says. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now listen to me. The Bible says that the psalmist said that the law of God is his meditation all the day. All day long. 24 hours a day, he's meditating on God's Word. Now how do you do that? Unless you're memorizing it. You understand me? Say, well, I'm just gonna take this one verse and I'm gonna think about it all day. Well, guess what? If you take that one verse and you're thinking about it all day, you're gonna memorize it. And if you ever try to memorize a verse, how do you memorize a verse? Let's say I was gonna memorize Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. How would I memorize that? Well, I'd say, oh, how love I thy law, about 1,000 times in my head. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how love I thy law. Right? Then it is my meditation. It is my meditation. It is my meditation. It is my all the day, all the day, all the day. And I say it so many times and it gets inscribed in my head, and then I try to quote it. That's how you memorize verses. And I'm telling you, that's the only way you will spend the entire day memorizing the Bible. Or meditating on the Bible. There's no other way you can do it. You're not gonna walk around just with your Bible all day. At work, driving. You know, I do that sometimes, but my wife doesn't like it. But you know, you're just doing whatever, in the shower. You're not gonna be able to do it. For some of you, the shower is when the water cleans you. You know, we'll talk about that another time. But verse 97, look what it says. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's like my memorizing the Bible. Look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. Look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. You see that? See, the psalmist said, because I meditate on God's word every day, he says, I have more understanding than the people who try to teach me. Hey, you know what? You want to know the Bible more than Pastor Jimenez? I'll memorize Pastor Jimenez. I promise you, if you memorize big chunks of the Word of God, you memorize entire books of the Bible, you will know the Bible. And guess what? You know the chapters of the Bible that I know the best? You know which ones they are? The ones I have memorized. The ones I have committed to memory. The areas of Scripture that I just know very well is because I spend time, day after day, meditating and thinking and quoting. Why? Because the number one way to learn the Bible is to memorize the Bible. See, think about this. These are proven statistics. You will remember 15% of what you hear. I'll preach this morning for an hour, and you'll remember 15 minutes of it. Not 15 minutes, because that's not, if the hour had 100 minutes in it, you'll remember 15% of it. You will remember 30% of what you read. You will remember 60% of what you study. But you will remember 100% of what you memorize. You understand that? Memorizing the Bible is the most effective way of learning and studying the Bible because of the ability of retention. You're retaining 100%. And I'm not preaching on memorizing the Bible this morning. I'll do that another time. But you'll learn the Bible. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. He said, I know more Bible than the people who are trying to teach me the Bible because I meditate and I memorize on Scripture. Amen. If you want to be an effective... And let me say this to our soul winners. I've said this week to a couple of our soul winners, and I just want to say it out loud. If you're going to be an effective soul winner, you must memorize the verses that you're soul winning verses. Memorize the Bible. You know, you ought to be able to, they ought to just be able to come off your tongue. You ought to be able to just know what you're saying. And by the way, you'll learn how to give the gospel better when you memorize, when you spend all day meditating on those verses. You say, I'd like to be an effective soul winner. Take the time to memorize the verses. I want to study the Bible. Take the time to memorize the Bible. I said number one, you've got to read. And by the way, let me tell you a couple things. There are benefits, and I'd like to preach a whole sermon on just Bible memorization. But I want to give you a few things. There are benefits. There are promises that God gives to those who memorize His Bible and no one else. Let me show you a few. You're there in Psalm 119, right? Go to verse number 11, real quickly. Look what it says. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. The benefits of Bible memorization. Let me show you a few. The benefits of Bible memorization. Psalm 119, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart. A reference to Bible memorization. How do you hide God's word in your heart? Well, you memorize it. Or you cut yourself open and stick your Bible in there, but I don't think that'd be comfortable. He said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Look what he says, that I might not sin against thee. Do you see that? One of the benefits to memorizing the Bible is to keep you from sin. You're there in Psalm 119, go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, real quickly. Psalm 1, let me show you this verse. Psalm 1, you say, why should I want to memorize the Bible? Well, the first thing is, the Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When you memorize the Bible, that word will keep you from sin. Number two, let me tell you something. The Bible promises prosperity and success for those who memorize Scripture. You're there in Psalm 1? Look at verse 1. Look what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, notice what it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. Do you see that? The Bible says His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Look at verse 3. And He, who's the He there?
The guy whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the guy who meditates in the law day and night, notice what it says, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Look what it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I should like that promise. God says, anything you do, I'll make it prosper. Anything you do, I'll make it to be successful. Anything you do, I'll make sure you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The idea there is of a strong tree filled with nutrients, not a weak and decaying tree. He said he will bear his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever you do, this proper. You say, I want that promise. Well, that promise is to the guy who meditates in his word day and night. Your little 15-minute devotional with your three verses isn't going to get you that promise. The benefits of memorizing the Bible. Keep your finger there in Psalm, but go with me real quickly to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Let me show you another example. Joshua chapter number 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. It's the sixth book in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter number 1. Let me show you look at verse number 8. Joshua chapter number 1. Look at verse number 8. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 8. Look what the Bible says. The Bible is very consistent. Look what it says. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Do you see that? How do you keep the law from departing out of your mouth? Well, when you're quoting it all the time. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Isn't that interesting? Just like Deuteronomy. He says you meditate on the law day and night, and you observe to do according to all that is written therein. Look what it says. Look at the last part of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you see that? There's a very specific promise in the Bible. God says, I will make you prosper. I will make you successful if you learn to meditate in God's law day and night. Interesting. I remember I told you to keep your place in Psalms. Go back there, but get out of the book of Psalm. Go to Proverbs, real quickly. Proverbs. We've got to do this fast. You're slowing me down. Proverbs, chapter number 3. Look what it says. Proverbs, right after the book of Psalm. Proverbs, chapter number 3. The benefits of Bible memorization is they'll keep you from sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The benefits of Bible memorization is that it'll make you prosperous. It'll make you successful. The benefits of Bible memorization, look at Proverbs chapter number 3, look at verse 1. Look what it says. My son, forget not my law. How do you forget not his law? Well, if you memorize it, then you'll always remember it. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. How does your heart keep God's commandment? Well, if you have it memorized in your heart, you'll keep those commandments. Look what it says. Why would I want to do that? Look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. God says, I will give you longer days. I will give you longer life. I will give you peace. I will add these things if you forget not my law and keep my commandments. A benefit of Bible memorization is a long life. Another benefit is favor and good understanding. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Look what he says. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you see that? That's a reference to memorizing scripture. You're writing it on the table of your heart. And notice what he says. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. You say, I go to work and I don't seem to have favor with my employer. I don't seem to have favor with my family. It seems like they don't understand me. Maybe you ought to try to memorize some scripture. God says that He'll give you good understanding in the sight of God and men. That word favor, it means He kind of gives you an advantage. It means He likes you more. It means He favors you. You ever heard of, I was not my parents' favorite. You want to be God's favorite? Learn to meditate on God's Word. Learn to write it in your heart. Hey, I'm just trying to give you a few benefits to Bible memorization. But if you want to learn the Bible, my friend, you've got to learn, I said number one, to read large portions of Scripture. Number two, you've got to learn to memorize the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Number three, go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. In your New Testament, Ephesians. After the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. And after the book of Galatians, you have the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number. Where do I want you? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. You say, I'd like to study the Bible. Number one, read large portions of Scripture. Number two, memorize the Bible. Number three, if you want to study the Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Hey, that's me. I'm the pastor and I'm the teacher. Here, at least. You say, why did God give me to you? I like this. Why did God bless you with my presence? No, I'm just kidding. Why did God, you know, favor you so much to give you, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Why am I here? Look what it says. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Look what it says. Here's why he gave you a pastor. Here's why he gave you a teacher. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, let me tell you something. I don't get up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night for my health. My wife cuts my hair. Let's not talk about that right now. But my wife cuts my hair. And every time she cuts my hair, she says... Yeah, you know, when we first started the church, she's like, honey, have you ever noticed you have this one white hair? And then it was like, she's got two white hairs. I was like, you got seven white hairs. I was just like, you got so many white hairs, I can't even count them. And it's like, yeah, it's interesting how that happened after we started the church, huh? Say, why is that? You try dealing with you. It's quite a task. You say, well, why do you do that? Why do you guys sacrifice and suffer and study and read and write sermons and pray and do all that? Why? To be able to help you, to teach you, for the perfecting of the saints. You're the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. The purpose of church. You say, why do we have church? Is it for the donuts? No, we like the donuts, but it's not for the donuts. Is it for the singing? Hey, we like the singing, but it's not for the singing. Is it for the fellowship? Hey, praise God for the fellowship, but you can get fellowship somewhere else. It's for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the saints, for the preaching of the word of God, to teach you the Bible. That's why we're here.
Amen.
You say, I want to study the Bible. Show up to church. You say, I want to learn the Bible. Hey, guess what? I know of a place that three times a week opens up God's words and gives you tons of scripture and explains it to you and teaches it to you. Why don't you show up for church? Say, I want to study the Bible. Well, you've got to show up to church. The purpose of church is to teach you the Bible. That's why we're here. To help you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Now you say, well, I go to church. Well, you've got to understand, though, how to make the most out of the church service. So how do I make the most out of the church service? Well, number one, if you're going to make the most out of the church service, you got to show up. You got to show up. Listen to me. Just listen to me very carefully. And I'm not trying to be rude or whatever, but just the person who shows up to church once a week learns less than the person who shows up to church twice a week. Does that make sense? The person who shows up to church three times a week learns three times as much as the Sunday morning only. Now, I love the Sunday morning only. I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning. But if you say, I want to learn more Bible, before you go and spend all your money on some Bible college class, why don't you just show up to the free class we have here?
Yeah.
On Sunday night and Wednesday night when we teach you the Bible, when we go through Scripture, when we read entire chapters of the Bible and explain to you the Word of God. Show up to church. You say, I want to learn the Bible. Show up to church. And let me tell you something. You ought to develop a character in your life where you just have this habit of showing up to church. You ought to do that.
Amen.
You say, it's hard for me to come to church. It's hard for me. Hey, this is what you need.
Amen.
You will never grow. You will never become better by staying in your own head. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You need someone. Whether it's me or another pastor, another preacher, you need someone to give you Bible and challenge you to become better than you are right now. Show up to church. You say, I want to make the most out of our church. So, hey, look, I can preach my heart out and study and get all sorts of scripture and all sorts of illustrations, and I can deliver it with the eloquence of the angels. And if you're not here, it does nothing for you. So how do I get the most out of my church? Show up. Show up to church. But number two, when you're here, get engaged. I think it's funny sometimes. Sometimes people come to church, you know, they're here, but they're not here. You know what I'm saying?
they're physically here, but they're just not here. The lights are on, but no one's home. You know what I'm talking about? They just kind of give you this look, like, you know, and you see them sort of fall over, and they're like, oh, and it's like, that person was asleep with their eyes open. That's pretty good. Just take a picture of that. You say, how do I get the most out of my church, out of the church service? Get engaged. Get engaged. Listen to this. They have done studies before about how people learn most effectively. And they have found that people learn, there's three different senses that you learn. You learn audibly by hearing, you learn visually by seeing, and you learn kinesthetically by feeling. When you come to church, you say, I want to get the most out of the sermon. Well, number one, you ought to pay attention. You really should. Don't just, you know, blank out and you're thinking about, where are we going to go for lunch after church, you know, and I've got to go to the grocery store and, oh man, I forgot to clip my toenail this morning, or whatever, you know, whatever you're thinking about while I'm preaching. You ought to get engaged, listen. But not only that, you ought to get engaged visually. You say, how do I get engaged visually? Well, I'm a firm believer that you ought to follow along in your Bible when you're at church. Number one, let me just say this. When you come to church, bring your Bible, okay? I don't know why we have to say that today, but we do. When you come to church, bring your Bible. Because you know what we're going to be talking about when you get to church? The Bible. So it might help you if you have a Bible. Does that make sense? But when you come to church, and by the way, let me just say this. Those of you who think you're real smart, and you leave your Bible here, so that way it's here, and you don't have to remember to bring your Bible because it's at church, you know what that tells us? You're not reading it all week long. Because it's here! You know. I don't know if that makes sense, but you'll figure it out. So bring your Bible, but then when you bring your Bible, follow along in your Bible. Go to the verses. Connect the audible learning with the visual learning. Follow in Scripture. You say, well, Pastor, you go to too many references. I can't follow all of them. Follow as many as you can. And guess what? The more you come, the better you'll get. The more you'll learn your Bible. I tell people this all the time. You may not like what I have to say, and you may not like what I preach, but one thing you'll get out of the service is you'll learn how to get through your Bible. You'll learn how to get to the references. Brother Vincent was telling me, he's like, man, when I first started coming to church, I was so overwhelmed, like, I didn't know how to go. He's like, now, it's like, whatever. Come on, Pastor. Add another 20 references. You say, well, why is that? Because he came to church, he brought his Bible, he followed along. Follow along. You say, what else can I do? Connect the kinesthetic, the feeling. You know, I believe this, and I used to do this, and look, if you don't want to do this, that's fine. And some people shouldn't do this. But to get the most out of your Bible, out of the church service, you ought to show up, you ought to bring your Bible, you ought to follow along your Bible, but if you can, you ought to take notes. I really believe that. When I was a teenager, I took notes, you know, growing up in church and stuff, and it benefited me. Now listen to me. Some of you can't do that, and that's okay. Okay? If taking notes, it becomes this huge hassle where it's like, you're all overwhelmed, and then just forget the notes, okay? But if you're able to take notes, and guess, you know, what I like to do, I take notes in my Bible. I listen to preaching, and the preacher says something good, and I make a little arrow, or I underline it, or I write something next to it. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But you ought to take notes, if you're able to take notes, to get the most out of your Bible. And by the way, let me say this. Be engaged in the service. Teach your kids to be engaged in the service. You know what I thank God that I grew up in a home where we went to church. My mom and dad forced us to follow along in Scripture. Now look, we were allowed, you know, we fell asleep in church when I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. But you better believe that I wasn't the 10-year-old who was falling asleep. And sometimes people have this idea, you know, you're going to bring your kids to church and let them fall asleep, or bring your kids to church and give them coloring pictures so they color. Make your kids be engaged in church service. When I used to be in church, and I was a kid, and the song leader said, take your songbooks and go to page number 175. If I didn't pick up my songbook, and you know what my dad did? You know what my mom did? He looked at me and said, pick up your songbook, sing. We're in church. You got to do that. You know, the pastor says, take your Bibles to 2 Timothy. You know what we used to do when we were kids? We take our Bible to 2 Timothy. And guess what happened? I learned the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I learned Scripture. I learned from God's Word. But when mom and dad are asleep, you wonder why the kids are asleep. Get engaged. Teach your kids to be engaged. Teach, you know, you say, why? Because that's why we're here. We're here for God's Word. Now, I know some of you are here for the donuts. But we're trying to grow you from that, okay? To learn the Bible. I'm trying to teach you effective ways to study the Bible. Number one, learn
to read large passages of Scripture. Number two, memorize the Bible. Number three, get the most out of your church service. Get the most out of it. Don't skip one. I understand sometimes if you're on your deathbed, I get it, you know. But if you can be here, be here. Bring your Bible. Follow along. Take notes. Learn. Number four. We're almost done. Man, I got some time. You say, how can I study the Bible? Teach the Bible. Teach the Bible. The best way to learn something is to teach it to others. You know who learns more Bible at Verity Baptist Church than anyone here? This guy. You know why? Because when I have to study and write sermons to teach you, I learn it better than you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? The best way for you to learn the Bible is to teach the Bible. Now you say, well, we don't have opportunities to teach around here because Pastor doesn't have a Sunday school class. Okay, well, go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew, first book in the New Testament, chapter number 28. Do you like how I even try to help you sometimes? Tell you where they're at so you can turn to them. Matthew chapter number 28. Now, some of you are going to have to go buy a Bible this week because you don't know where your Bible is. But that's okay. We have some back there. You can grab them. They're free. Now, grab one, please, you know. Oh, they're free. Do your Christmas shopping. Matthew chapter number 28. Look at verse number 19. Some of you get my joke. Some of you just want me to be done. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 19. Look what it says. Go ye therefore and, notice that word, teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, I'd like an opportunity to teach, Pastor. Well, guess what? We have an opportunity 3 times a week. I have as many opportunities for you to teach as much as you want. Go out knocking on those doors, you get to teach the Bible a lot. Say, I want to learn to study the Bible. Hey, be a soul winner. Go out and teach people the Bible. I promise you, you'll learn it. And if you memorize it, you'll be a real good soul winner. Be a teacher. You say, well, how else can I teach? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Look at verse number 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 34. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 34. Look what the Bible says. It says, let your women... I'll wait till you get there. It's a controversial one, so we might as well read it. This is my nice sermon, remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 34. Look what it says. Let your women keep silence in the churches. I wish somebody would tell Joyce Myers that. But anyway, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Now look, that's not talking about, you know, you're not allowed to talk. It's talking about, the Bible is very clear, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. I can explain to you later. The Bible is very clear that the position of preaching and pastoring has been given to men. You say, is that, you're a male chauvinist. Well, no, God's a male chauvinist, and he can do that because he's God. But, you know, it's not that men are smarter or anything. It's like, that's the position that God gave men. Period. God gave the position of preaching to men. There are things men can do that women shouldn't do, and there are things that women do that men shouldn't do. You know, and that's it. But look what it says. Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now the men, you know, the men hear that preaching, and they're like, amen, Pastor. Tell those women. They're supposed to submit to the men. Okay, but look at verse 35. And if they will learn anything, look what it says. Let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now look, the Bible says man. The Bible says husband. The Bible says father. That God has made you the spiritual leader of that home. He didn't make your wife the spiritual leader of that home. He didn't make your teenager the spiritual leader of that home. He made you the spiritual leader of that home. And the sad part is in America today, we've got a bunch of men who don't want to take on their spiritual role that God has given them of being the leader of that home. God put you in charge. And thank God for all the godly women who are trying to get their husbands to come to church and get their husbands to grow and get their kids. Hey, praise God for you, but you know what, men? It's your job. You're the leader. You've got to provide for them physically, spiritually, emotionally. Go to, you're there in 1 Corinthians, go to Ephesians. After 1 Corinthians, you got 2 Corinthians, then you got the book of Galatians, then you've got the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You see that? It says, "Father, your job is to bring up, your job is to answer your spiritual questions your wife has. Your job is to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Hey, dad, it's your job to teach your kids the Bible. So how do I do that? Family Bible time. How do I do that? Devotional time. And by the way, ladies, you got to read the Bible with your kids too. Say, I'm not going to get too much Bible. No one can get too much Bible. Teach the Bible. You say, how do I learn the Bible? Teach it. Teach it to your kids. Teach it to your grandkids. Teach it to people you get saved. Disciple them. Help them along. It's your job. And by the way, dad, listen to me. The reason, let me be very clear. The reason America is in the state it's in, and if you think America is in a good state, you need to get your head out of the television and wake up. Our country is in so much trouble right now. All the sin and the filth going around, the politicians we've got, and all our country is such a mess. And it's because men have refused to take their role of spiritual leader. Men have refused to read their Bible. Our churches are filled with women, and praise God for the women. But men, take your job. You gotta wake up in the morning and say, "Wife, honey, kids, get up. We're going to church." You're the dad. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He didn't give him an option. He didn't get up and say, "Honey, you wanna go to church this morning?" He said, "Hey, kids, get up. We're going to church." Take that role. Take that opportunity to be that leader that God placed you there. And we waste our time on so many frivolous things that mean nothing. Look, you spend so much time, you know. I see all these dads playing Little League with their kids. And look, it's fine, play Little League. There's nothing wrong with it. Whatever, do whatever you want. But you know that hitting a ball accomplishes nothing in the span of, like, reality? You understand, you know, people say, when the World Series is over, it doesn't matter the next year who won because there's a new World Series. You know, let me tell you, I don't know if you really know this, but when the World Series is over, it doesn't matter 5 minutes later who won. It doesn't mean anything. But your kids mean something. Your wife means something. There's an eternal soul there, and I wish we'd raise up a group of men who will say, "I'm going to take that role. I'm going to take that leadership. I'm going to learn the Bible so I can teach it to my kids. Amen. So I can teach it to my wife." You say, "I'd like an opportunity to teach the Bible." Hey, guess what? We got one tomorrow night. It's called Men's Preaching Night. Maybe I ought to learn the Bible. Maybe I ought to study. Maybe I ought to preach. Why? Because the best way to learn the Bible is to teach the Bible. Now, let me give you one verse in conclusion. Go over to the book of Hosea. Say, where's the book of Hosea? If you go to the end of the Old Testament, you've got those big major books of the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. After the book of Ezekiel, you've got the book of Daniel. And after the book of Daniel, you've got the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4. If you want to learn to study the Bible, you ought to learn to put the commentary away, and you ought to learn to read large portions of Scripture. You ought to learn to memorize the Bible. You ought to learn to make the most out of your church services. You ought to learn to teach the Bible to others. You say, "Why does it matter, Pastor?" Look at Hosea chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people," this is God speaking by the way, "My people are destroyed," look what it says, "for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saying, thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You know, as I go out in the highways and hedges and the neighborhoods in this community, the more I minister to people, the more I get to know people, the more I see people's lives, the more I see the condition. And look, my heart breaks. I want to help. And I want to love. And I want to pray. And I want to try to make a difference. But sometimes I look at people's lives and I stand back and I think to myself, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to live with all this chaos, all the sin. You don't have to.
The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
You say, Pastor, what would help my life? This book right here. Say, I need help with my marriage. This will help you. I need help with my children. This will help you. I need help with my finances. This will help you.
I need help in my life. My life is just being destroyed.
It's because of lack of knowledge. It's because you don't know what the Bible says and you're not applying what the Bible says. You don't have to live like that. And my heart breaks because I say, man, if I could preach a sermon that would help people learn the Bible, maybe it'll help their lives. But you don't show up. But you're here, but you're not here. You're not following along. You're not studying. You're not reading. You haven't read your Bible.
This, if you take this lesson, it'll literally revolutionize your life. I believe that.
And we can make a difference in this community for the cause of Christ. Because let me tell you something. My people are destroyed. You say, is it because of the alcohol? Is it because of the drugs? It's because of a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not, thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I know that there is a group of people here that does love God and loves your word. That's why they come. If they just wanted to come for a rock concert, there's 1,000 churches they could go to for that. If they wanted to come for a little pep rally or a little pat on their back or a little, you know, just encouragement type word, motivational 15-minute sermonette, there's 1,000 churches they could go for that. They come here because they know they're going to get your word. But Father, I pray you'd help us to develop character in our lives, to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to memorize the Bible, to teach the Bible, to be consistent to church. Because our lives are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.